good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you on this Monday morning. Ooh, how you doing? How was your weekend? It was a weekend, wasn't it? Yeah, a little bit of rain. In fact, on Saturday, I was so shocked to see the downpour and the hail, and I thought I was in the Midwest. That's a common thing, like in South Dakota, even in Arkansas. It really, really came down. And according to the headlines in the Statesman Journal, it looks like we're a little behind on our rain totals and are looking at maybe some increased fire danger as we get into the summer months. So we'll welcome the rain, right? And it's weird to say in Oregon, because usually we're known for a little more rain than other parts of the country, but it has been a little drier than normal here. And so as we look at the weather this week, we'll see some showers throughout the week, but it looks like Wednesday and maybe next Sunday, the sun will be out mostly. So that's something to look forward to. Good morning. I'm Stacy Ann, and we're hanging out. You're listening to Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann, and lots of news all around the country. And of course, all the headlines having to deal with the protests, the riots, the injustice, the justice, what to do, a lot of noise, right? And I don't know how you are dealing with all of the, it seems like 2 weeks ago, it was a COVID-19, everything in the news, right? You couldn't get away from that. And it shift fast to what's going on currently. And I don't know how you're processing it all, but I will tell you, this is kind of where I'm at and how I processed with it. And I was born in Texas. My dad was in the Army, and then we moved when I was like 9 or 10 months old to Southern California. And I wasn't living in just some Southern California, Beverly Hills type experience. No, I was in North Long Beach. If you know North Long Beach at all, it's not too far from Compton. If you know history at all, of course, there was a lot of rioting and things going on in the Compton area. And when I was in school, at Grant Elementary School in Long Beach, California, it was right when they started busing children around to try to get blended schools, right? So they weren't all white schools. The desegregation of schools going on, that was happening as I was growing up. And in my neighborhood, you know, I really kind of was, there was, I was more of a minority. I had really good friends that were brown, Hispanic, Black, Asian, and I was this very, very white kid with red hair. I'm the one that stuck out like a sore thumb. I was the, and growing up, I will not change a thing about growing up in Southern California up until I was 10. Nope, I would not change a thing. I didn't know any different. I didn't know the difference between people based on the color of their skin. I just had great friends who were super, super people, and still friends thanks to Facebook and in touch with them these days. It's really nice. And so I've just really struggled over the last week or so, 2 weeks now, since the death of George Floyd, and how to deal with this, because it seems like there's an awful lot of activity and an awful lot of noise and not a lot of solutions being brought forth to really deal with the injustice that we see in so many layers of our society. And so as we do, maybe you don't do this, but I do, I'll stream through my Facebook page. And this came up from my good friend Gwen Caldwell, who her and I have been shoulder to shoulder working on campaigns, working in our communities to bring light to injustice and to bring hope to people that are struggling and suffering. And I love this woman dearly. And she writes, "In my experience, which is fairly extensive as a social justice warrior, an outspoken advocate for equality, being an elected official serving on the Civil Rights Council of America, and years of fighting the system for change, I was angry. I was tired of the abuses I witnessed. I was loud and aggressive, and I was also completely ineffective. When I learned to do the research, the actual statistics, the facts, when I compiled this information and could quietly articulate this, the real conversations were able to come to fruition. Then changes were able to start manifesting. The powers that be quit listening and don't hear you when you get loud and emotional. Therefore, your efforts are ineffective and do not create any credibility for your cause. No change comes from your righteous outrage. Destroying personal property, looting, assaulting, and arson are not only unlawful, but bring harmful to the communities that are need the credibility for their cause to be heard and responded to. But it creates hardship for the very people who you say lives matter. When peaceful protests turn to riots and lawlessness, you forfeit the moral high ground. You are tried and have lost credibility in the court of public opinion. For a week now, I've seen cities in our beautiful country be burned and looted. I have no idea what the message is or the damage or what I can do to assist in being part of this change. I see rage and anger being displayed with no coherent solution being discussed. Martin Luther King Jr. is probably turning over in his grave, Gandhi and Rosa Parks too. Why do we remember them? Why do we know who they are? Because they quietly and peacefully protested the world into change. They took power from remaining on the moral high ground. Hopefully this rage will subside and some real solutions can be discussed so change is possible. I can't hear it for the noise at the moment. And this is my friend Gwen Caldwell, and I called Gwen up and I said, Gwen, will you come on the morning show with me and let's talk? And Gwen, you are on the line with me now. Thank you for coming and being a part of the morning show. And we have much to talk about, my friend. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Stacy. Oh, I'm great. I'm happy to be here with you. I was just thinking this morning, it's been a long time since we did a morning together.
Oh, I know. It has been. And we, you know, I was thinking back about the time that we met and the time in your life where there was a lot of disruption in your life. Your youngest child was probably, was he about four or five, I think, Sage? And you had gone through quite a storm. You've gone through some storms in your life, and you always, your perspective, your grace, your style, I just am so drawn to you. You've been such an inspiration to me, and I'm very blessed to call you my friend, and I'm excited to hear from you this morning.
Well, thank you, Stacy. Likewise, I assure you.
Tell me a little bit about your thoughts in writing this article that you had up. I know that you've been an ambassador on the UN. You've been an elected official. You've been a strong voice for Native people. You've seen true injustice within the foster care system. In fact, you inspired me. You may or may not know this, too. Go and do the final step to be a foster mom to make sure I can advocate from the inside. I don't know if you knew that or not. And if it wasn't for you, I would not have my beautiful Bree because I took that final step. Talk to us a little bit about your history and why I think and I know you can talk to this subject of injustice.
Well, I think for the most part, I was raised in a family where first of all, in eighth grade where I grew up, you didn't go to high school if you did not pass the Constitution. So our whole eighth grade year, it's like, oh my gosh, are we going to pass the Constitution? I mean, it was a really big deal, the Constitution. And I was raised in a family where I would say conservative, although my parents, neither one of them were really political. My dad refused to vote because of the Electoral College. He said his vote didn't matter anyway. But we were raised with this idea that you just stay on the moral high ground, and there is this Constitution, and there is this process that protects you as an American, and that that's always your backup plan, you know. And when I started seeing things that were happening that were, in my opinion, an absolute violation of the Constitution and a violation of oaths of office of prosecutors, police officers, judges, and I'm like, how can this happen? What gives them this authority, and why is nobody stopping them?
Mm-hmm.
How can this be happening? And so that journey to discover how this can happen and how the Constitution is not applicable revealed a lot of things I was completely unaware of. And in 1921, there was a law passed, federal law, called the Maternity Act, in which required birth certificates then to be produced for each child that was born. And I found out that marriage licenses are basically a contract that you have with the state to your offspring. So you can go in there and scream all about your constitutional rights, but you're not a party. You're not a party to the complaint because you've already signed away your authority by making the state a party to your offspring. So there are all these unwitting, unrevealed contracts that we're making every time we sign our signature on something, and it's fraudulent. And the more I learned about the fraud, the more outraged and angry I got. And you can't stop me once I start going down rabbit holes. Mm. It's like, I'm going to get to the very root of this. Who made this happen? When and how did it happen? And that, I guess, for me was just really a wake-up call, thinking that somehow all my life I believed in this Constitution and I believed in our government to protect us and that we had these rights. And all I was seeing were people around me that were in fear of their government.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. When we come back from this break, let's go into serving on the Civil Rights Council and kind of what you did next, okay? You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM News that you can use, with advocate Gwen Caldwell on the line. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
It's a good morning.
Good morning, Salem. It's 52 degrees here in the KSLM studio. It's going to be up to 65 degrees. Thank you for tuning in on this Monday. I want to give a shout out to Beth. Beth at Capitol Pond. It is her birthday today. Happy birthday to you, Beth. I hope it's a splendid day for you and your family. In fact, you may or may not be listening this morning, but I'm going to come by and say hi to you. Sing a happy birthday in person. What do you think of that? That'll be fun. I am so glad to have you tuned in today. I'm Stacey Ann, and I just want to remind you, if you've been out, maybe this weekend, I know it was a little wet and rainy, but maybe you were out in your garden or redoing a flower bed or doing something outside, and you're wondering, what am I going to do with all this debris, in a sense, right? Well, you can take it to Clayton Ward Recycling. They're accepting concrete, wood, yard debris, dirt, and gravel, also cardboard, newspaper, and office paper. And some charges may apply, but most items, there is no charge, there's no waiting, easy unloading, fast and friendly service, family owned and operated for 50 years. That's Clayton Ward and Recycling off Mainline Drive in Kaiser. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, Saturday, 7 to 3. Give them a call, 393-8700. And we're continuing the conversation with my friend Gwen Caldwell, who I've known for many, many years. In fact, we've worked on political campaigns together. I have watched her really dig through and research things out. And Gwen, that's the key to all of this. You know, as we listen and watch all the media hype of what's going on, it seems like it's just distortion and noise. And yet we know down in there, there's injustice. We know that there is power hungry police. We've seen this. We know this in a lot of governmental offices. It's not just, it seems like the police force has been affected. And my friend Frankie did a post too on Facebook that I thought was so good, because she said, for all the peaceful protesters upset about being lumped in with the rioters, looters, and lawbreakers, it's kind of like all the greed, great police officers being lumped in with a few bad ones, isn't it? Chew on that for a moment. I thought that was a good post because, you know, when these protesters, all of a sudden it starts turning into looting and running into Target and getting, you know, Apple iPhones and iPads. And even I saw a white lady carrying out lamps, you know. I'm like, what in the world? Wait, this is crazy. When it turns into that, I tune out. It's like, they lose the message, and it's so important that we research.
Well, I can guarantee you, Stacey, 70% of the people in Minneapolis have their Christmas shopping done.
Wow, what does that say about the great American cause, right?
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
I have never seen such widespread yeah. I mean, I grew up in California, so I've seen the riots like you. I was there growing up in that time. And but to actually see it in real time happening, I was literally just gobsmacked, just horrified to think that this is how people think it's okay to affect change or to mourn.
Mm-hmm. It's not effective.
Well, the problem becomes when you do this and you lose the moral high ground, now what everybody is seeing is not what that police officer did, which was absolutely horrific and unacceptable by any measure. And I think everybody that saw that was just outraged at how this could happen in broad daylight.
Right.
And you know, it struck me not only what the police officer did, but people are standing around videotaping it, and they don't stop the police officer.
Exactly.
And it's like, wow, seriously? And then to see the looting going on, our focus is no longer on what happened. What we're focused on now is the mass destruction, the screaming, the yelling, the fires, the beatings, the, you know, all of the media hype. Oh my gosh. I'm telling you, you know, I don't have a TV and I'm so grateful. Because it's just garbage, the stuff I see coming out. But now we can't identify a solution. We know what happened, but we're focused on how fires are going to get put out, how displaced people are going to find someplace to stay, all the workers that just lost their jobs because their place of business burned. So it creates a whole nother cycle of victims that are genuine victims, but what started it is totally lost.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that. There's no part of that.
It seems like the solution that all of a sudden is being brought forward is so radical
just shut down the police force. Just shut them down. You know, instead of trying to do reform. I mean, it just doesn't equal, yes, the unjust and the cruel and horrific, inhumane act of the death of Mr. Floyd. There is just, but now we're in this whole agenda of shutting down the police force. It doesn't add up in my mind. Yes, there's reform that needs to happen. Yes, there's power hungry badges all over this country. Some people call them bandits when they're along the side waiting to catch you to get money, right? There's a lot of attitude in that, but I know some amazing frontline. If I'm in an emergency, I would feel safe calling someone to help me, you know, and who are we going to call? And certainly gun ownership is going up. And I do think we need to be on guard and prepared personally, don't you?
Well, I really do. I'm a prepper, and people laughed at me when I prepped. But you know what? I didn't run out of toilet paper.
That is for sure. And what was that all about? Oh, my gosh.
And when people started saying, oh, yeah, they're coming into the suburbs, they're coming in to the neighborhoods, and they're going to burn them, you know what? Yeah, I locked and loaded.
You're ready. You're ready. And you're prepared.
Yeah.
And
yeah, exactly.
Yep. We're going to continue the conversation after this break, visiting with Gwen Caldwell. She's an advocate, a friend, and when we get back, let's talk a little bit about what we can do to work towards solving injustice. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Monday and every day. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new
good morning, Salem, to your Monday. I'm Stacey Ann, glad to have you along. Thanks to those of you tuning in from all over the country, South Dakota, Arkansas, North Dakota, right here in Oregon, no matter where you're at. Thank you for tuning in. And you know, I was telling a little bit in the first segment that I was raised in Southern California, and I had friends of all colors, and I was the bright white kid with the bright red hair. And I learned so much. And then when I moved to Oregon at 10, I remember thinking that, my goodness, it's very, very colorless in Oregon. And that was in 1979. And then when I moved to South Dakota and went back, I had gone to school for a couple years in Idaho, and then I went to Black Hills State University in Spearfish, South Dakota, and that's where I got my degree, double major in human service and sociology. I finished up my schooling there after studying the Bible for a couple years at a Christian college. And I remember I was so shocked, sitting in many of my classes, a large percentage of our classes were Native American Indian students. And it was interesting because many folks would sit together in groupings, and I hadn't ever witnessed that before. And so I found myself, when I came to class, sitting in the middle of it. I just would move and sit right in the middle and became really good friends. And I had never really been exposed, even though living here in Oregon, we have a beautiful Indian tribes in Oregon and a gorgeous, gorgeous history here. And so I learned so very much about the Lakota and drawn to the culture and a real honoring system. And then comes along my friend Gwen, who I think we met maybe around 2004, 2005 during some political races. You were working on the front lines for Senator John Thune in the Indian country. And Gwen, you have seen injustice. You've seen firsthand the racial profiling, and you experienced through the systems, the harassment and things. Talk a little bit about that. And I also want us to touch on, and we have a little more time in this segment, about this whole, because white people are white, they have some kind of privilege, white privilege. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay, well, I want to reiterate something that Candace Owens said yesterday, and that is, how dare you talk about white privilege. Because the minute you talk about white privilege, you are saying, I am above because I'm privileged. I'm more privileged than everyone else, the Native Americans, the Black, the Latinos, the Asians, whatever. How dare you make me as a Black woman inferior to you with your identity politics and your white, you know, calling out white privilege. How dare you?
Mm.
And I thought, you know, coming from a beautiful, articulate Black woman, I just went, you know, I never thought about it like that, but I think it's valid. And, you know, I was at a treaty meeting, and there was a white man there from, I believe he was from Washington State, and he said to me, why don't the natives just assimilate?
Hmm.
And I was a little taken aback by that.
Hmm.
And I said, are you serious right now? Do you not understand that what befalls the native community is coming to your community when they're done with us?
Hmm.
And then, he just looked at me like I didn't know what I was talking about. But now when I hear people talking about Medicaid for all and free education and free housing and all of this, I look at the reservations that I lived on. Please, I welcome people. If you think socialism is a great idea, please, go spend a couple of days on any Indian reservation in this country and have a look at the people who have their feet and their legs amputated from the diabetes and the heart disease and ask them how they feel about socialized free medicine for everyone. Go and look at their neighborhoods where they get free housing. You know, go see what that really looks like. And you know, people, you know, the idea seems okay. But the problem is, first of all, somebody has to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, a government who has the power to give you everything that creates what you believe is your quality of life has the same power to take it away.
Yes.
There is nothing good about that equation.
And so when we see the attempt, in a sense, to say that there's no police needed, right? That we need to disband the police because there's a couple bad apples within a police department. We'll just totally disband. And yet you have a call for government needs to give us equal pay. These conflicting messages. It's kind of like you need to have social distancing and wear a mask, but it's okay to protest.
I'm a little bit angry about that. I had two aunts die during this whole COVID thing. There couldn't be funerals. We didn't. I mean, I know in my heart, in my mind that they're gone, but I have no closure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certain that I'm not the only relative. My cousins have expressed the same disgust that, you know, it just feels, somehow it feels like something isn't finished. But if you're angry at the government or you're angry at a cop, all of a sudden, social distancing doesn't matter. And then to take a funeral full of thousands of people and televise it for a political agenda, I'm sorry. I'm not diminishing George Floyd's life. I'm not diminishing the loss that his friends and family feel. But are you serious right now? I couldn't bury my own relatives.
Mm-mm.
They had to be buried with 10 people at their funeral.
The inequality. That's what we should be upset about right there. The inequality of the ability to get on with our own personal life and have personal choice and the ability to grieve or celebrate if you have someone like Terry's daughter's getting married this Saturday. And we had to cancel our plans to attend. It's his only child that, you know, his only child that he had a blood relation, right? And he can't attend his daughter's wedding because they can only have so many people there, right? And then we're going to celebrate in a year, Lord willing, next year we'll have a big celebration. She'll graduate from college. But it's these things we've been robbed of, and yet they can have, some people can do it, but it's not right for the majority of people. See, that inequality, those are things I think that we could be upset about. And here in Oregon, and of course, Gwen, you lived in Oregon, you lived in Eugene, correct?
I lived in Eugene and Cottage Grove, both.
Mm-hmm. And we're working on a recall of our Governor Brown and bringing to light the inequality, because there's so many people that have not even gotten their unemployment. They've not even heard from the unemployment office. And talk about inequality. These are things real life up close that we're dealing with right here in Oregon. And it seems like there's a very good momentum as far as recalling the governor here. And it's an interesting time that we live in. It certainly is. And people can be empowered. How do we get empowered, Gwen? What can we do personally to not be fooled by the mainstream media and all the noise? What can we do personally?
Shut your TV off, take it out and use it for target practice, quit listening to the pundits and the talking heads. They are divisive. And we have got beyond anything else. We have to remember that we belong to one another.
Yes.
And we cannot allow them to divide us with identity politics. By what party, what race, what religion, what social class you belong to, if you're employed or unemployed, if you're young or you're old, you know, if you have dreads or you don't. I mean, that stuff really has to stop. The second thing is be kind. You know, when the disciples went to Jesus and asked him what was the most important thing, he said, love one another.
Yes.
Be kind. It doesn't cost anything. Commit random acts of kindness. It doesn't cost anything to be kind, to compliment people. Quit allowing our neighborhoods and our communities to be divided with things that are not relevant to the core purpose of our time here on this planet.
Yes. And that's such a good thing, Gwen. When we come back, I want you to share some Lakota with us. And the message that we all are related, okay? We'll talk about that. You can give us a Lakota lesson, all right? You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Monday and every day. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with Gwen Caldwell right after this.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Salem. Together on this beautiful Monday. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use. Here to encourage you. I would be encouraged. In fact, if you liked us on Facebook, go to KSLM Radio and like us. Yes, we want to thank Bill Sunderland with Country Financial Sunderland Agency for sponsoring the morning show. You can get a hold of him at 503-885-0789. And I want to also let people know, people have been asking, got a comment wanting to know where we're at with the Baker County decision in regards to suing Governor Brown and the Common Sense for Oregon. And the update, you can go to the website, commonsensefororegon.org. And my understanding from that had is that each of the parties have submitted their briefs to the Oregon Supreme Court. Now they're looking to see if there's going to be a decision, whether they'll get a chance to argue in person those briefs or not. And so that's where that is at. We'll keep you updated as well. And, you know, Gwen, the last segment, I've got Gwen Caldwell with me, and she is, I would call you an ambassador, a justice advocate. She truly walks out her belief system in a way. She takes care of who God brings along her path. Really, truly, I've seen her take care of single mamas and families that have been in crisis, gathering food, Christmas gifts. She helped, her and I worked on a case of a single pregnant mama who was displaced, and we were in the trenches. Sometimes wanting to pull out her hair and yet on her knees praying, what's the best for this woman, and trying to help her see that she's only, she needs to make some good choices, you know, and make some better decisions. So we've been through it together. She surprised me more or less about a week before my 50th birthday last year. She flew into Arkansas and celebrated my daughter's graduation and birthday. She's a treasure. And you've heard me say that I go out looking for treasures in people, and she's not just one treasure. She's a whole chest full of many treasures, and I'm thankful to have her in my life. And Gwen, when I think of this verse out of the Bible, we talked a little bit about what Jesus had said, the greatest commandment. So one was to love, you know, the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This scripture is out of Micah 6:8, and it says, "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And being just, walking in mercy, I've seen that demonstrated over the years in your life, Gwen. And you are a woman who, you defy all the odds in my mind. You have been through adversity and walked through the fire and have come out as a sparkling jewel in my mind. And you help people. You've had a radio show. You've worked, like I said, as an ambassador. And you know it's so important that we be equipped with the truth and research. Talk to us a little bit about what we can do and where we can find information. And you were having a conversation with one of your relatives recently where she came at you with something. You're like, where did you get that? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Okay, so I lend myself more to a conservative viewpoint, and this is something that has been acquired over the years. I guess I would say, you know, growing up in California, I had more liberal views, whereas I got older, I realized that I was socially liberal, but fiscally more conservative. You know, there were just, and it just evolved, and I just identify more, I guess, with the conservative, you know, ideals, and you know, that's what happens when you get old and wrinkled like me. But what I know is that I'm not here to judge anybody. I don't care what party you belong to. What I care is that you vote. Vote your conscience. Vote for the party that represents your values. But what makes me angry are the blatant lies and propaganda that's being spewed on a lot of the mainstream media, the pundits, even the newspapers. And it's so she said, well, Trump said, and I said, whoa, wait a minute. You heard Trump say that? When did he say that? Well, it was on the news. I said, well, then it didn't happen. Whatever they say happened on the news, you cannot believe it, mm-hmm. because it's been clipped, it's been twisted, and you've got these people giving you their opinion, not what he actually said. And it's not just Trump. I'm just using that because that was our conversation. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of things. Vaccines, COVID. I mean, you could just go down the list. So But the point is that I told her, I said, did you know about the presidential executive order? Well, she didn't know about that. Well, why haven't I heard about that? Well, because it makes Trump look okay. And it's not Orange Man bad. So they're not going to put that on the news. I said, so you can go to whitehouse.gov. You can look up the executive orders. You can go to the Department of Justice. You can look up all the indictments that they are executing on people that are trafficking children, Medicaid fraud, drug cartels. All of that's on there. You can go to the FBI.gov and you can look up things there, and you can actually call these people and you can ask questions to the Department of Homeland Security. Go to their website. The information is there. Go to the Thomas Registry. Write to your congressman and ask them if you've got questions about things that are going on. They're very good about getting back to you. And then you have the facts. It's not something that someone else took and spun it for their own agenda.
That's exactly right. Yep, that's exactly right.
It feels really empowering to know. I mean, when you go down those rabbit holes and you actually start learning how to research and you really start following the money and you start seeing how all of these people and these things are connected, it feels so good to finally know what's really going on. So when you're going out to vote, you're voting from a very educated, knowledgeable place about what reflects your values and the information you have.
Yes, because our vote makes a difference. It really does. Gwen, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a wonderful day, and join me again another time in the future, okay?
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you for tuning in today, my friend. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Monday and every day. Go out and have a wonderful Monday. Over, under, around, or through. Remember, you and I, we're overcomers. Be blessed.